Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us pray before you sit down, please. Our Father, we thank you for this morning and thank you for the opportunity to share the word of God. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and it's a light unto our path. And we pray, Lord, that today, as at other times, you will visit us and that you will open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. We pray, Lord, for the grace of God to be upon the service, and that, Lord, you will bless us beyond our expectations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Hello. Okay. Amen. Well, we thank God for this morning. Today we are taking a double kind of whammy because we are springing forward and at the same time we are also springing backwards, isn't it? We're trying to start our service. Paul just sent me a message. He just woke up. Can you believe it? So, it's that kind of a day. Amen. Amen. But take it easy. Amen. Amen. And there are some days like that. There are some days when things don't quite work out the way you arrange them to work out. But God is still God. Amen. 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 And also when you're in situations like that, it's good to learn how to stay calm, because it's an important reminder that you really are not in charge of anything. That God is God and He is the boss. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And when it's not within your control, I think it's an opportunity to have more faith in Him, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's an opportunity to give it all to Him and trust Him. And the Bible says He will bring it to pass. Amen.
Amen.
So today, it's just a short sermon. I've been preaching the whole weekend. So, but I'm just going to share with you. I'm going to go back to humility and pride. Amen.
Amen.
I just can't seem to get out of that place. So I'll stop making promises. Amen. I'll stop promising not to go back to it. And I'll stop saying it's the last one. And as the Lord blesses us and as the Lord, you know, gives us the opportunity, we'll continue to share and to keep sharing. Amen.
Amen.
Let's read James chapter 4 and verse 6. James chapter 4 and from verse 6. James chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, but he giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. Amen. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Amen.
Amen.
God resisteth the proud. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. I read it again. It says, but he giveth more grace. God gives more grace.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God gives more grace. When you think you're running out of grace, ask God for more.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because he has not run out of grace. Never runs out of grace. Always has some backup grace for those who need a bit more of it. What do you think? Yeah, for those who need a bit more, God will always give you some backup grace. But God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So verse 7 says, submit yourselves unto God. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. The devil is afraid of people who are submitted to God.
Wow.
The devil is afraid of people who are submitted to God. Do you see? It is very hard to kidnap a kid who is walking with their hand in their mother's hand. Do you see? Because their mother is going to get you if you try to get the kid. Isn't it? But it's easy to get a kid who has strayed away from their mother and has gone in the crowd and gone ahead of everyone and it's doing their own thing, disconnected from their mother. If we walk with God and stay connected to Him, the devil doesn't have a certain kind of access to us. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says, if you submit yourself to God and you resist the devil, he will flee from you because of where you're coming from. Isn't it? Because God is not too far from you. Amen. Verse 8 says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, apply DIY to yourself where humility is concerned, and God will lift you up. Amen. When God lifts you up, no man can set you down. When God lifts you up and places you somewhere, no man can set you down. Hallelujah. Amen. When we were kids, our parents, my mother especially, used to keep things away from us by setting it up somewhere. Hallelujah. Amen. If she didn't want you to eat it, if she didn't want you to touch it, she would take it from you and she would set it up somewhere. Now, where she left it, you could see it, but you couldn't bring it down. You know, and sometimes we would make feeble efforts to try to bring things down that have been, you know, placed beyond our reach. You just couldn't do it because a superior intelligence, a superior mind, a superior person has set the thing beyond your reach. And where she has placed it, you can see it, but you cannot influence it. You cannot bring it down because a superior person put it there. Hallelujah. Same thing with God and us. When God lifts you up, human beings will see that you have been lifted up. They will envy you. They may even be angry at you. They may wish you were down. But the truth is that a superior power has placed you where you are, and there is no way any human being can influence that. Can I have an amen? Amen. So allow yourself to be lifted up by God. But to be lifted up by God, you have to humble yourself. That's what the Bible says. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, that unfortunately is not what human beings tend to do. Human beings tend to want to lift themselves up. Human beings tend to be proud, you know. And there are so many signs and so many ways to determine pride. I'm going all the way to chapter 5 of that book on humility. Hallelujah. And you will see that one of the ways pride is detected, or one of the manifestations of pride, is in how we speak. So you can detect pride in the things people say. Hallelujah. Amen. And there are types of speakings that ooze with pride. Wow. Isn't it? Yeah. That show that people are actually proud. Now, one of them is overconfident declarations. overconfident declarations. Hallelujah. Jesus was taken to Pilate. You know, we're coming up to Easter shortly, and we'll be reading these scriptures again. But in John chapter 19 and verse 9, the Bible says, "And they went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer." This is Pilate. When Jesus was arrested, they brought him before Pilate to try him, you know. And, you know, Pilate was trying to question him. And the Bible says Jesus gave no answer. "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. "Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not to me? Won't you talk to me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." Amen. So Pilate was trying to get Jesus to answer his questions. And when Jesus wouldn't answer the question, he was trying to flex his power muscles a little bit to let him know that, you know, I'm not some friend of yours you are talking to. I'm not one of your buddies. I'm not one of those people out there you're talking to. It looks like you have forgotten who I am. You see what I'm saying? It looks like you've forgotten who I am. Now, human beings very commonly, we very commonly are faced with that temptation to remind people of who we are. Do you see? Because one of the problems people also have is that they forget who you are. Isn't it? Creating a need to remind them of who you are. And Pilate was in that situation. So that situation itself, the tendency for people to forget who you are, plus the temptation it presents for you to remind them of who you are, sets a trap of pride for you. Amen. Amen. It sets a trap of pride for you, and it makes you, it tempts you to make overconfident statements and makes you talk in a way that you really shouldn't be talking. So Jesus told Pilate that the truth is, you appear to have power, but you can have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Hallelujah. A man cannot have any type of power except it's given to you from above. And that is something we must always remember. Because the Bible says all authority comes from God. It is God who gives people power. You know, it is God who lifts people and gives them power. Hallelujah. When you read the book of Romans, maybe we can go quickly to Romans chapter 16. The book of Romans. My iPad is refusing to open. That's strange, isn't it? We should go back to the good old book. Isn't it? Okay, let me get it over here. Romans. All right, so Romans chapter 12 I need. Well, it's not that either. All right, let me just skip that. I'll come back to it if the Holy Spirit brings it back to mind. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'm explaining to you that no one can have any kind of authority or any power at all except God gives it to him. Amen. Amen. The abilities we have, you know, are God-given abilities. The talents we have, the gifts we have, they are all things given to us by God. Amen. Amen. And we must never speak in an overconfident way. Hallelujah. Amen. We must always acknowledge that God is the one that has given it to us. Amen. Amen. Another sign or another way in which our speech, you know, reveals pride is when we make comments that forget the grace of God. Hallelujah. When we make comments that forget the grace of God. When we speak and do not make statements or do not acknowledge the grace of God. And that one, you can find an example in the book of James. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil." Hallelujah. The Bible says that people who say tomorrow, we're going to go to such and such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Now, this is talking about planning for the future that excludes an acknowledgement of the role that the grace of God plays in everything that we do. Hallelujah. As you can see, this person is saying tomorrow or today. He says today or tomorrow, I'm going to go to such a place and I'm going to be there for a predetermined time, you know. And then he says, I'm going to buy and sell and get gain. Hallelujah. Amen. The person is naming when they're going to do the thing. They're naming where they're going to do it. And they're saying also how long they will be doing it for. And they are determining exactly the scope of what they will be doing. And they are also saying and determining what the outcome will be. Hallelujah. Amen. This must be and must take a lot of pride and confidence to be able to declare these things. Isn't it? Yeah. The Bible says you are doing all of this, whereas you do not know what shall be on the morrow. That means even the first step is wrong. Even the first step is out of your control. He said, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. How can it be that you don't know what shall be on the morrow, but you make such confident plans? It's like making plans with money that's in my pocket and you don't know how much it is. Do you see? Yeah. How can you make your plans with money in my pocket and you don't even know how much of it I have? But that's the same thing that, you know, he says, tomorrow I'm going to go to such and such a city. First of all, you don't even know what tomorrow holds for you. But you have planned that today or tomorrow, I'm going to go into such a city and I'm going to continue there a year. I'm going to buy and sell. So I'm saying when I'm going to do it. I'm saying where I'm going to do it. I'm saying how long I'll be doing it for. And I'm also defining exactly what I'm going to do. It will start from here and end here. And this is the result I'm going to get. Wow. And he says, you don't even own the first step. Amen. Amen. You don't even own the first step. So the Bible teaches us the proper way to speak as a Christian. Because it says, otherwise your life is but a vapor. You know, a vapor rises. And you, when you go home this afternoon, just fetch a cup of hot water and then try to track the vapor. You know, watch the vapor rise from the cup and watch it rise into the air and see how long it lasts. And he says, your life is but a vapor. That is all that our lives are, which appears for a season and is not there anymore. Hallelujah. It appears for a season and you don't see it anymore. So the right way to speak is, if the Lord will. Hallelujah. If the Lord will. Or by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Amen. If the Lord wills, or by the grace of God. All of us must learn, especially when you're making predictions and when you're making or declaring intentions, you must always learn to include the phrase by the grace of God. When you are making a confident statement, when you are announcing even your achievements, you have to say, by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Just to remind yourself, it's a good Christian practice to say, by the grace of God. I'll see you on Friday, by the grace of God. I'm going to go to Atlanta and I'll be back on Wednesday by the grace of God. I'm traveling to London next week and I'm going to go to Hong Kong from there. And then I'll be there for 2 days and I'll move from Hong Kong to Singapore for about 3 weeks. And I'll be there for 2 days, for 3 weeks in Singapore. And then I'm going to fly from there to Dubai and do some business, meet some guys over there and come from Dubai back to London and then finally back to Los Angeles. It's not complete without adding by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Without adding by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because if God does not pour his grace on you, you will not even take the first step. You will not even take the first step. Hallelujah. Amen. The journey will not even begin. So we must learn to say, by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Say, I've been able to achieve this by the grace of God. And the Bible says, people who don't talk like that are boastful. He says, such talking is boastfulness. Hallelujah. Amen. And boastfulness is an evil thing. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, let us learn to include the grace, an acknowledgement of the grace of God in our speeches. Say amen. Amen. Right. Now, another type of talking that reveals pride is when we rebuke authorities. When we rebuke authorities. When we try to correct people who are over us. Hallelujah. To rebuke your parents, to rebuke your pastors, to rebuke your seniors, you know. It is also something that reveals pride. Amen. And I think it was last week or so we were talking about Korah, isn't it? And we're talking about how he and his buddies were just speaking in a way about Moses, their leader, which is not correct. Hallelujah. Then another example was Peter, who was also rebuking Jesus. The Bible says he took Jesus to the side and tried to rebuke him. And that is also not right. Can I have an amen? Amen. Next one. The next sign of pride revealed in our speech is abruptly ending conversations. Abruptly ending conversations. You know, that's number 7. Abruptly ending conversations. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, when someone is talking to you, especially someone that you should have respect for, it is important to entertain whatever they are saying, even if you know it already. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It is important to be humble and to listen to what is being said to you, because hearing what is being said to you, even if you know it already, will not hurt you.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
The Bible says a wise man will hear and increase learning. Then it says fools despise instruction. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says fools despise instruction, but a wise man will hear and increase learning. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So God is showing us that it is a foolish man. You know, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let's read that verse, please. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Then it says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Fools despise wisdom and instruction. But wise people, they hear. A wise person hears and increases what he already knows. Hallelujah. It says, give instruction to a wise man and he will yet be wiser. You know, he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. That is Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 9. But if you go back to chapter 1, you can see both there. Chapter 1 and verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Then if you back up to verse 5, it says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It doesn't hurt to hear something again that you think you know already. If hearing something that you know already was hurtful to you, then the stop sign in your neighborhood would have killed you a long time ago. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is very important for us to understand that hearing something again and again and again and again only secures your knowledge of that thing. And so if someone is telling you something, an older person is speaking to you, someone, your parents or someone who is over you in authority is saying something that you think you know already, it is an act of pride to cut them off. But a lot of people do that. They just cut them. Oh, I know it already. You know, sometimes you find, let's say, you know, friends, people making conversation and just talking, and then one person is saying something that he has probably forgotten he has told the other person before, you know. And then as you start saying whatever it is, they cut you off by saying, oh, you keep telling me the story. Do you understand? But people don't understand that sometimes maintaining a flow is more important than cutting it off abruptly. Hallelujah. The fact that someone is willing to talk to you is valuable. Amen. It is valuable to you, whether the person is a spouse or a friend. I mean, fellowship depends on that. Good friendship, good relationship is built by that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so you should not cut people off when they are talking to you. When someone is saying something and you think you even know it already, you must cool it. Just let him say it, because it won't hurt to hear it again. Amen. And the Bible says you will increase your learning, because sometimes you think you heard something already, but when you hear it again, you see you are hearing new things that you didn't hear before. Amen. Sometimes I find myself preaching. I'll be preaching sometimes on the same subject, but I find that whatever I preach, I mean, on the same point, I preached it in another place, but what I said here is different from what I said in the other place. Because you see, preaching is by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So really, it is what the Holy Spirit is emphasizing in a particular place. And the Holy Spirit knows each group. Do you understand? And God can use the same verse to say so many different things to you. That one same verse, God can use it to say so many things. Because it's the Word of God. The Word of God is deep. There are layers of revelation in the Word of God. The Word of God is like a story building with many flaws. Every verse has many flaws to it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then there are layers of meaning in every verse in the Bible. So depending on who you are and what situation you are in, the Word of God may come to you the same verse, but God will pick a different flaw to use that to speak to you. God will select a different layer and inspire that towards you. And so if you close your ears to a verse just because you heard it before, if I suddenly said, can we turn to John 3:16? You won't even turn to it because you think you know what is there. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. It says it's fools that do that. Fools despise instruction. But a wise man will hear. He will hear it. He will hear it. He will hear it. And by hearing it, he will add to his learning. He will add to what he knows already. Hallelujah. He will increase his learning. And fools will rather lose even the little that they have. Can I have another amen?
Amen.
So let us watch out for abrupt ends to conversations or cutting people off when they are trying to talk to us. Amen. Amen. Another type of talking that reveals pride is declarations of self-sufficiency. Declarations of self-sufficiency. Revelation chapter 18 and verse 7. Revelation chapter 18 and verse 7. Revelation 18 and verse 7. Well, if we start reading from maybe verse 4, it says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, in the cup which she has filled to her double. Verse 7, how much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she shall utterly be burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Now it's referring to a city. Amen. It's referring to a city and it's explaining how the city has committed an abomination in the way it's presented itself to God. Do you see? Overconfidence. Statements of self-sufficiency. I don't need anyone. There's no evil that will befall me. You know, I will never need anyone. One day, a certain man was talking to his son or so, and he just said, I'll never need any of you. You know, and I was telling him that, look, we don't talk like that. We do not talk like that. You don't look at people and say, I'll never need any of you. I'll never need anything from you. Just based on your current state of sufficiency. Because things can change overnight. Hallelujah. Things can change overnight. Up can turn round and be down tomorrow. The person who is up can be down tomorrow. Someone that's dependent on you at one moment, suddenly things can change and now you become dependent on the person. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sometimes you can have spouses, you can have one that works and the other is not working. And then the one who is working has a lot of power because he or she is the one who is bringing money to the family. Do you see? Yeah. That is how it works sometimes. But then as we go down the line, you see that things flip. The one who wasn't working gets a job. Then the one who was working loses his job. Then suddenly everything is changed in that same house. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we never talk like that. We never say, I will never need anything from you. We never say, I don't need you. I will never need you. We never say, I will never be poor. Look at this city. He says, what did she say? She has glorified herself, verse 7, and lived deliciously. So much torment. It says, give her so much torment and sorrow. Because she says in her heart, I sit a queen and I am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall utterly be burned with fire. Hallelujah. She said, me, I'm not a widow. I'll never be a widow. And because of that, she has attracted death into her household. So exactly what she said will not happen is what is about to happen. Isn't it? Mourning, it says, I shall see no sorrow. So it says, give her mourning. So now she's going to cry. And then give her famine. So her plagues are coming in one day. Because she's too proud. And is declaring herself, you know, as being self-sufficient and not needing or depending on anyone. Hallelujah. Is this making sense to you?
Oh, yes.
It's a very important message we're receiving this morning. Because these are common sins that, you know, we live with and which are found among us all the time. But may God help us and deliver us from these errors. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Then another one is statements that trivialize issues. Statements that trivialize issues. That is another one. Statements that trivialize issues. See, sometimes you're talking to someone and they're saying what is important to them. But the thing that is big on their list is really something that you may have overcome. It may not be an issue for you. So we have a tendency to dismiss what is important to another person. Hallelujah. When you read the scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 28. This is the story of David. When David went to see his brothers at the time when Israel was getting ready to fight with the Philistines. And this giant called Goliath was displaying and intimidating the people, you know. And David started talking to people and asking, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who is defying the ranks of the people of God? Then he asked some people some questions. What would they do for the one who beats this guy? You see, now David was very serious because he felt that it was so wrong and out of place for a Philistine just to be intimidating the people of God like that. He felt that the people of God are the people of God and they should not be, you know, intimidated the way the Philistines were acting towards them. And so he was trying to find out, you know, how can we bring this situation under control? And by the way, if you do this and help, what are you going to get for it? So he started asking people. And then this verse occurs. It says, and Eliab, his eldest brother, this is 1 Samuel 17 and 28. It says, Eliab, his eldest brother, his eldest brother heard when he spake unto the man. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David and said, why camest down hither? And whom hast thou left those few sheep with in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest. You know, this is so hard to read. Hallelujah. He said, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Hallelujah. David had come down and he was talking about something that was important to him. Do you understand? And then his big brother just came and dismissed the whole thing. You see, he dismissed the whole speech and whatever David was doing. And then he even refers to the sheep that David has, because David was also a shepherd boy and had left the sheep to come and see his big brothers who were on the battlefield, you know. And the sheep that David had, his big brother said, those few sheep. It's like what you're doing is not even important. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Sometimes when you start a new church like this and there are few people, there are some people who just despise it. Those few members, that small church, you know, they just dismiss it. You know, it is all an act of pride. Hallelujah. It is to trivialize something that is important to another person is an act of pride. Hallelujah. And statements like that, you know, that just put down what somebody else is doing, they reveal a heart that is full of and swelling with pride. And such things should not be found among us. Say amen.
Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm saying about that point? Hallelujah. So Eliab, his brother, he felt that David was a proud person. That's why he had come over there to the battlefield in the first place. And that's why he had left those few sheep. You know, it's nothing important when David had given his whole life to make that happen. Hallelujah. Then finally, before we close, I'll give you one last point. Statements that belittle others. That's similar to the last one we just talked about. Statements that belittle others. That you talk in ways that makes others feel very small. Hallelujah. It says, watch out for people who feel so big and arrogant that they belittle everyone around them. You know, some people are like that. They feel that the smaller they make you, the bigger they get. So they look down on you and they intimidate you. You see, but we should not do things like that. Amen?
Amen.
Let us learn to respect people. Let us learn to respect everyone. Let's learn to avoid lifting ourselves up. Because if we do, the Bible says God will bring us down. Amen.
Amen.
But I want God to lift me up. How many want God to lift you up? So let's stand to our feet and pray today and ask God to lift us up and to make us humble so that He will promote us Himself. Amen.
Amen.
Just bow your heads, everybody. Just take a moment and begin to pray. We have just a few more moments before the service is out. But just pray and say, Lord, we ask you to help us. We ask you to forgive us. We ask you to help us to stay humble. Help us not to speak proudly. We accept your word today that our pride is revealed in many statements that we make. But we know, Lord, that we are flawed and we don't want to be overtaken by the spirit of pride, because pride will make you resist us. But humility will make you bring us close to you. We want to be close to you, Lord. We ask that, Lord, you will humble us, or help us to stay humble, oh God, so that we can be drawn to you and brought into your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing this morning. Forgive us. Forgive us when we have trivialized what is important to others. Forgive us when we have rebuked people who are our elders, when we have tried to correct upwards, oh God, forgive us. Forgive us when we have sought to belittle others, to make them unimportant, so that our importance will grow. Forgive us when we have laughed and mocked at others. Forgive us. Forgive us when we have looked down on things that are important to other people, making statements of self-sufficiency and speaking without acknowledgement of God's grace. Forgive us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your blessing today. In Jesus' name, amen. Finally, before we close, maybe you're here today and you want to either give your life to Christ or renew your relationship with Him. It's a great opportunity to do that. So I want you to say this prayer after me and say it with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe that you died on the cross and you shed your blood for my sake. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Forgive my sins and let your blood wash me and cleanse me. Make me a child of God. Help me to live for you, O God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for this opportunity to renew my relationship with you and to give my heart to you. Let your blood wash me indeed and cleanse me. Strengthen me, Lord, and help me live for you. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen.